Blog Talk Radio.
Malcolm X.
A song for the ancestors, brothers and sisters who paved the way, lit the day. We owe them so much that it's impossible for us to pay. Let me say, what we must do is illuminate the path for those who are to come. And then our name will be called in the words of some future song.
A tribute.
Progenitors of humanity, they name the moon and the dawn. What we must do is understand the divine role we are to play, and our children will love us, and our names they will gladly sing in tribute.
Assalamu alaikum, shalom alaikum, and all those beautiful words of peace. I'm your host, Brother Derek Jabril, along with Brother Waleed Muhammad, and you are listening to The Narrative. I want to thank you all for tuning in with us today. And our subject today is going to be on the importance of language, part two, communicating with the supreme being. It's a very heavy subject, and we can't wait to get into this subject with you all today. And I want to say, open up my brother's mic. Brother Waleed Muhammad, you here with us today, sir?
Yes, sir, brother. All praise is due to Allah for Almighty Muhammad.
Yes, sir. We're going to have us a very good, very big dynamic show in store for the listeners today. Because, you know, man, it's kind of baffling for some folks in today's world. They're saying that you can see where people say that they praying to God and it's like God is not answering them. And I remember a newspaper article that came out sometime, I think probably in the early 2000s or the 90s, but I'm thinking it was probably about late 90s, but I'm thinking it's probably like between late 90s and early 2000s. His article said, it had a big old caption on the front of it, said, "Is God dead?" Is God dead? Because there was so much turmoil going on during that particular time, so it made the newspaper people print some subject up like that. And no, God is not dead. Why is it that you feel that you can't contact the God? It's because have you really took the time to step back and check your language? How do you speak to the God? And many people, they know how to pray. You know what I'm saying? And when they do pray, I had one brother, he even admitted that sometimes when he would pray, he would slip up and use a curse word in his prayer. and sometimes, and I didn't hear some man that throw out an F-bomb when they refer to something that God is doing, you know, and I'm saying to myself, man, dog, have you not realized as of yet that your language has power to it? It's power attached to words. We're going to get into that today. So, brother, anything you would like to share before we get started?
Oh, that was good. That was to the point, what you said.
Yes, sir, because we definitely got to be clear today, because remember in the Supreme Wisdom, it says that the laborers must practice the above language with all new converts or people. You know, the laborers are liable to punishment if found using baby language at any time. The laborers must greet a registered believer or Muslim in his own way. Now, baby language. Let's start there. Brothers and sisters, you can't be walking around with the goo-goo gaga stuff. It's time for you to elevate yourself. This is your time now. You must elevate. And elevate don't necessarily mean to just raise your foot. We're talking about elevating your mind and elevating your consciousness into higher frequencies, to where you can communicate with the God. Because one thing you're gonna learn about communicating with a supreme being, you can't be speaking the goo goo gaga. You can't do the Pebbles Flintstone. No. You can't do that. Can you imagine me, I'm walking in a park, brother, and I'm communing with God, right? And I'm walking in a park. And I'm out there calling God the N-word. And you say you're going to do this, you're going to be there for me. How do you think God's going to hear you? Well, that's where we're going to be at today. Because a lot of our people, man, they're finding themselves, they constantly calling for God, and it seems like God is not responding. But yet he is responding, it's just you not picking up on the frequency. Sorry, brother. So I had asked a question to a young man this week. I said, what was your first introduction to the reality of God or the existence of a supreme being? And, you know, most that I would say, they don't have a clue. When we look back during childhood time, you know, we just only practiced with whatever our parents practiced, even though we weren't really like really wrapped up into it. You know, it was just a thing. It's kind of like whenever you go to like a funeral as a child, all you do is you sit around and you see how people is crying and sobbing. you know it's a very sad time, so, you know, this is not a time to be laughing and clowning. And you see your mom and dad and them crying and family and grandmother crying, and then, you know, that was your first interpretation of what an event is like that, to react in an event like that. But you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his book, Message to the Black Man, the opening, the first sentence in the opening chapter, his name in that section is called Large God. But it asks the question, who is this mystery God? And, you know, the first sentence is very powerful indeed. It says, for thousands of years, the people who did not have the knowledge of the person or reality of God worship their own ideas of God. So that's a question I have on the table. What were your first fundamental ideas of God, and what was God? So, brother, you got to go. I want you to think back in your computer. As a child, what was your first reaction of God, of just hearing it, just even thinking about mom, dad, what is a God? Go ahead,
before you hear the word God and your parents distinguish that word identity as being different from themselves, I think your concept of God is your parents, and particularly your mother, because she has the greatest influence and impact on your life. And this is who you see. This is who you know you come out of naturally. And so I think that's where it all began. And as far as the word God and being enlightened on that reference, being a deity maybe other than self, I think that comes later on. And based on our formulation of concept, imagination, we make that association with the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely right. That's definitely right.
When we think of our needs being met, our needs being fulfilled, predominantly for years that we know, mom serves that role.
Mm-hmm.
When we are hungry and we speak to her in the form of sounds which carry vibrations, which carry signals and messages, and she responds to that sound, and she feeds us because she knows it's time for us to eat, and we're satisfied. Then when we are hungry, we typically make those sounds again because mama always responds to them and brings us food. So she's fulfilling mm-hmm. our needs. So that's early on. That's why mama is always so close to us. As we grow up, we tend to divide the parents and make mama the most significant one. And that's simply because during the time when we could not do for ourselves, she did for us. If we make a different sound when we are wet and soiled, in our diapers. And mom seems to always know what it is. She comes and checks us. And she what cleans us and give us that comfort again. All right, she fulfills the need. So our language that we are speaking to her is sounds that we are making, and we find that these sounds work, and they work because they always draw her to us, and she always fulfill our needs when she comes. Not knowing, not understanding the higher part of that. We don't get that till later.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true, man. Because to be honest with you, brother, when I was a child, my first idea of God was this. I didn't have a clue. Even though I would hear the name, mama would play on Sunday mornings, you know, gospel music every now and then, you know, but I didn't have a clue. And I'm pretty sure most that's listening, they ain't have a clue either. Not when you're a child, you know,
because our
first ideas of God does grow from our parents and their understanding of God and what God was. For the most God was represented as a mystery and immaterial nothing in my household. You know what I'm saying? That can do miraculous things with just a thought. Then poof, it appears. Or one of my personal favorites is the God could transform into anything. A tree, a car tire, bird, fish. You know what I'm saying? I mean, parents do play an important role in introducing the children to the reality of God. If the parents don't know God's reality, it is evident that in the world today that most don't. How can one teach that which one does not know? Like many of you, I used to think that God was a transformable God that can become anything that he chooses. You know, I thought this way at one point in time, and I must say, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and no, I was wrong. Like you said, no, I was wrong. You know, why, and then I have to think in my latter years, now, why would God cheapen himself to a fish that is low on the food chain and travel around the ocean and feel being eaten? Or, you know, or a beast of the field that is in constant defensive mode all day and night. We cheapen God with our crazy thoughts of his reality being a clueless thinking individual. And that's what, it seemed like that's what mainstream is. And even though you have these preachers preaching every Sunday, then how is it that in some churches that you go to, the people come in one way and go right back out the same way?
Ignorant.
Who's speaking in your ear? So, go ahead, brother.
No, you go ahead, please.
Yeah, because you know, why I want to start here with the reality of God before we really get into this subject, it's because it's time for this belief in a mystery God to be removed from out of the psyche of the human beings all over the earth today. This belief of God being a mystery has led potential human beings to a state of impotence and a lack of personal growth and development. As you say, brother, arrested development. No,
yes.
God is not a rainbow. God is not a gas gauge that you find in your car. And God is not a horse. God is a man. And man is God.
Don't get no plainer
and
than that.
It don't get no plainer. And we can't make God other than what he is. A living and breathing human being with supreme intelligence to set into motion all causations and manipulate the effects. Now that's deep. To be ahead of all causations, meaning that law does not affect him, especially the law of cause and effect, because he is the cause and he manipulates the effect. That is some supreme wisdom there. What do you say, brother?
Well, and that's got a many ways. What you said is kind of open on so many ends. It's mm-hmm. which way to approach it. And I say, when you talk about natural law, when you're saying natural law, you're talking about the order of things.
Right.
The order of things. How things are. How things change. How things transform. See, you say everything in the universe is governed by law.
That's right.
Everything. And what it is, some of us are aware of some of the laws, and some of us are not. I hate to put it on this level, but it's like me training dogs.
Right.
Sometimes my clients think what I do is miraculous. And I keep telling them, it's not miraculous what I'm doing. It's just that I understand their nature. I understand what motivates them to do everything they do. And because of that understanding, they are able to communicate with me. They know I understand. And I show them that I understand. And that's why they come to me. They want to be with
mm-hmm.
me. Because with other humans that they've been around, they don't understand and are not able to communicate with them. And they are in a constant state of conflict in the mind.
Right.
And that's very uncomfortable for them because they like to be sure. And
right.
So these laws is just, I'm going to say this again. God is a scientist. The messenger said, scientist is another name for God.
Okay.
If you look at this whole entire creation here in this society, everything you look at, all these things that you enjoy, all of that, scientists had a play in that.
Mm-hmm.
Just
all of it.
A lot of people
all
don't think about
yeah.
that. And scientists are just deep thinkers. When I say, I don't mean nothing mysterious. It's just this is
right.
a very deep thinker who probe that which is, let's say, sometimes unknown in order to find out, in order to know. You know, the maker of this white man, he was a what? A black scientist.
And they want to
make the people want to make us and mock us and make us feel ignorant of some way when we say that the father of these people was a scientist.
That's right.
No. But they don't mock or laugh when you look into history here and you find all of these scientists who what? Who brought all of these comforts in their lives as well as discomfort in their lives with the knowledge they had. You know, I tell you, they walk around with cell phones every day. And they don't understand this is a means of communication, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have no wires connected to it, do you?
No.
There's no wires connected to it. And you can talk and see who you're talking to on the other side of the world. And they talk back to you. That is a result of science and scientists who study sciences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how this device is working. If you study how this device, you learn some incredible things about energy and the manipulation and control of energy for your own purpose. Nobody
laughs at that
scientist. They applaud that scientist. But when you say God is a scientist too.
Yep.
And what he does, he controls and manipulates energy too. It serves his purpose to do so. Well, if you make a simulator, you got to be tripping. You got to be far out. You say, God, ain't anybody do this here. Well, they got scientists today who can show you all kinds of things. If we look at something most recent here, you know, you got half the country that took what? Then took vaccine shot.
Yep.
They don't know what the hell the shot is. But what? You hear everybody talking about, we follow the science. We follow,
the
science.
Yep, that's what you hear.
The science, you don't know the science, so you're following the scientist. Every time you go to the doctor to get this and to get that, scientists are behind that. You got different diseases, and you get scientists are behind that. The instruments that you're used, scientists are behind that. You understand?
Right.
Yet, and these scientists are not ghosts.
Right.
These scientists are men. They're men of races. And so what does that? Don't be so stretched out then when we say God is a scientist. He is the master scientist.
That's right. That's right. And a lot of us have to realize, too, look, if God is a scientist, what is that saying about you who was created in his image and in his likeness? What is that saying to us about us? When you understand the reality of God, you're really understanding the reality of yourself.
Say it again, brother, one more time.
Yes, sir. You understand. You are understanding the reality of yourself. Because when we talk about, like, potential, don't you know that when you look at a star in the universe, that is actually a potential planet? It's a potential planet. How do you think the Earth got started? Oh, boy, we really reaching outside the planet now. But anyway, how do you think all that got started? Do you think it just started just on its own? Or did something had to put it in motion? And what was that? See, that's what scientists think about. They want to know how did it come about. In the same way with you, dear brothers and sisters, who we are talking to today, we want you to start thinking more about yourself, because when you start getting in tune with self, believe, trust and believe, God is in tune with you. The God already know what you're thinking. It's just now you done lost the language on how to call God. A brother don't even know the number no more. because man, reason why I say that, brother, is about this language thing is because my wife was at a place yesterday, and a sister walked up in this place, and she didn't know the proper way on how to ask questions on what it is that she was looking for. So the first thing she did, she walked in and she said, "What is me and my husband going to get?" You know what I'm saying? What are we going to get? And you walking up to a person, not, "Hello, good afternoon. I hear that you all are offering something, you know, for the people. Can you tell me exactly what is it that we'll be receiving?" No. She walked in. What is it that me and my husband going to get? See, language. And I tell you, we've been chided about the use of language throughout from the supreme wisdom all the way through every book that the messenger even gave to us. And I remember he told Minister Farrakhan that in order to speak proper language, proper English, you have to put subject and verb. You have subject and verb agreement. You know, if you want to be effective in speaking. And the deal is today, you know, we got to be retrained, reeducated, retaught. But in searching for God, you know, that's something that's really naturally intrinsic, embedded in us, because we always looking for something that's behind what we see. It's ingrained in our nature to do that. Well, brother, I tell you, this language thing, man, I mean, can you imagine? We have in the supreme wisdom, Master Farrakhan Muhammad talks about planets, right? He said planets are made and grown from the very beginning. I mean, how can one create a planet? Don't you know the actor, I think I referred to him last week, Terrence Howard. You know, he's an actor by career, but he's also a physicist by trade. But let me rephrase that. Terrence Howard is a physicist by nature. I mean, we got to get it in our heads that we all are scientists by nature. A scientist, not of foolery or freakology. No, you a scientist born into a material-based universe that is full of known and unknown discoveries within the earth and outside of the earth. And you know that brother, and I want everybody, whenever you get the opportunity, go to YouTube, pull up Terrence Howard, create, just type in Terrence Howard, create a model of Saturn. Or create the planet Saturn. And don't you know, this brother, I'm going to share a little bit about him this afternoon, because I really want us to get to start thinking more deeper, because some of you are first-time listeners to us, and some of you have listened way since last year. But we want to make this so clear to you today that you have no problem with communicating with the Supreme Being. The Supreme Being's already existing in you. You need to resurrect the Supreme Being within. And when you do that, then you'll find that things that seem complex in your life right now or hard in your life, you'll find out that it's not as hard as you think. It's just what you are making it into. Because any person that would tell you that have came into the reality of God, they don't look for heaven out in space anywhere. They create their heaven right where they live. Right now, I'm talking to some of your homes. We're talking to some of you who are driving around in a car. You may be in a park. You may be in a room. But you all need to realize that your home right now is a form of heaven for you. This is a place where you go find relaxation, peace of mind, contentment. That's heaven. You got a loving wife or woman. You have. That's a form of heaven for you. Even in heaven, sometimes hell comes. And on our level, where we live, in the type of society we live in most of, hell comes in the form of a bill that you can't pay. Right? That's just a way to upset your heaven. And so we want you to learn to create heaven for yourself. And what is heaven for a man or for a man or woman here? In Philly, I can speak for here where me and Brother Wiley live at, but heaven to us, I found a good description of it in Message to the Black Man, where he says that heaven for us would be freedom, justice, equality, happiness, peace of mind, contentment, money, good jobs, decent homes, and friendships in all walks of life. That is heaven to us. Now, what would be a heaven in some of the places where you all live? Like if you were an Arab, what would be heaven for you? Because us, with the reality that we have here, we can't be contented with desert life. We don't know how to exist in desert. Right, brother? I mean, I know.
That's right.
I don't. I wouldn't even understand how to begin to live in a desert. But heaven would be for an Arab. I would think that would to have rivers flowing, you know, gardens, you know, some vegetation. That would be heaven for an Arab.
Well,
so heaven can be defined. Go ahead, bro.
When one thinks of heaven, it's like, you know, we say Mecca, the best part.
Right.
The best of, you know. So we think of the best, you know, the best of whatever. And so, however you living now, you ask, can you live better than how you are living now?
Mm-hmm.
If the answer is yes, then that is your striving. Your striving is to what? You want to be safe. That's natural. That's tied to your survival as a species. You want to be safe. You want to feel safe, right?
Right.
You want to grow. You want to be prosperous. When you look at these things, it's like when you don't have these things, you have an urge that move you to strive for them.
Mm-hmm.
When you acquire them, you have what? Pleasure. You have peace of mind. You have contentment.
Right.
For a while. And
right.
I said for a while, you need that other there to keep you moving.
Right.
It's just stimulation from your environment. And one of the things that we really don't focus on or understand, this is why we pretty much become victims of our environment, is being aware.
Yep.
Being aware of the impact of our environment on us.
Right.
So if you're not aware of it, you find yourself victimized by your environment.
Mm-hmm.
You are always running from the, let's say, the hot sun, the heat, or the cold,
right.
or the
right.
rain, or something else, you know, the insects, or something that causes discomfort for you in your existence. You're always at war with it because you don't understand it. And you
mm-hmm.
don't know how to safeguard yourself from these things. It's a science. I listened at one scientist say, all these diseases you're running from, you already got.
Mm-hmm.
You got viruses, you got bacteria, you got parasites. And you say, well, no, I don't have that. Yeah, they already died. Well, why don't they consume me? They don't consume you because you have an immune system that protects
right.
you from them destroying you and consuming you.
Right.
But when something happens to your immune system, then you see that you are invaded right away by all of these
right.
things that would give you discomfort, even death. They invade you.
Mm-hmm.
So by you lacking scientific knowledge regarding how you biologically work, that ignorance keep you a victim of your environment, both externally and internally.
Great
you
point,
know,
right there.
If,
yes, sir.
If we discuss that today with COVID, for instance, and we see that people are scared to death and terrified of getting COVID, right?
Right.
Well, hell, that just make you more susceptible to getting it.
Exactly.
Because
you're
shutting down and suppressing your own immune system as a result of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
What is known as you're creating more stress hormones in your body, and the stress hormones in the body is what's causing it. You hear people say, what? Man, I'm all stressed out, man. I can't think. No, you can't.
Yeah.
There's a reason they say that, but they don't know why it is that they say that. I'm stressed, man. I can't think. My head ain't clear. They don't know why, but all of these things that they are saying is naturally what happens to the body when it's flooded with stress hormones.
Right.
And they don't know what stress hormones are for. I mean, we need them. It ain't like we don't need them, but we need them. We need them for quick action. And then after we are out of that danger, then we want them to subside just, you know, as quick as possible. But when you come into our neighborhood as black people and brown people,
brother,
we are stressed. We are stressed around the clock.
We
are under so much pressure and stress around the clock. And as a result of all of that stress, it is constantly suppressing our immune system.
Right.
We doing it to ourselves. This is why the scientists are saying we are most, our community, black and brown, are most susceptible to COVID because we don't understand how it's all occurring. And we don't understand what happens when these things are released in our bodies. When these things are released in our body, some people, you feel sick of the stomach. When you get so scared, you feel sick of the stomach. Some people throw up.
Yeah.
They don't know why that's happening. What has your stomach got to do with these stress hormones? I mean, you know, your guts, what is appropriate and properly said, visceral. What has it got to do with these stress? Why are you feeling like that? Next thing, I can't think. I can't think. Why, what's happening? What does...
Right.
Why can't you... And what we're talking about is forebrain. And we're talking about that because predominantly in that area, the activity is that allows you to have clarity is there. And that is your reasoning ability and your judgment. But we don't study the scientists, so we have no knowledge of it. And as a result, we are thus victimized by our internal activity as well as our external activity.
That has
to do with, that has to do with when we become really frightened, we're ready to run. And we're ready to fight.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know biologically what is occurring to us in that time. We need all of our energy. All of our energy. We need it to what? Either get away from something or fight and struggle to overcome it, to get away from it.
Right.
So
right.
all of your energy is going to your what? Is going to your limbs, your extremities, your limbs, because that's what you use in order to get away from danger primarily. What happened to everything else? Well, it ain't got no energy to use because what? Your body has dictated that all of that energy has got to be used for the most important thing. And that is getting away from the danger.
Right.
So as a result of that, your system, like your immune system, is shut down. Now, what if that system stays shut down daily?
Right.
That means you're sick all the time. That means you're susceptible to all sorts of things that are presently in our bodies and beings. If we knew some of the things that were existing in our bodies and beings, that make us what we are, I'll say it that way, man, we would be trying to take everything to get it out.
Right.
And it's not about getting it out. It needs to be there. These things help us digest our food. These things help us excrete these things from our bodies, poisons and things that come into our body. These things feed on. They eat it. So we just need to study and learn more. And what? And I don't want to straight way away from the topic. Please forgive me for doing that.
No, that's all right. No. Because there's somebody out there that needs to hear this. Trust me. Go ahead.
Yeah, you hear people talk about, and the COVID is the first time you heard anything about a cytokine storm. What is cytokine?
Mm-hmm.
What is that? How many people know what it is? Yeah, that's something that is there in you naturally.
Right.
And, bruh, when that starts producing as a result of fear and anxiety in you, if that's, bruh, I'm telling you, that's what causes basically COVID to kill you.
Right.
You say,
right.
What? And rather than me going into all of these scientific explanations, it's enough out here where all you have to do is just go study it. It's all about you and your immune system. If you notice, they say what the virus, what the mRNA vaccine is designed to do. It's not designed to kill COVID. No. We already have the ability to do that existing in us. If you were to look at this as strategy and tactics of war, then you could get a better view of what's going on in the environment. And ask yourself this. Those who have been in war understand this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You are not aware of an imminent attack that is coming. You're not aware of it. So being that you're not aware of it, what? You really are not structured appropriately or properly to defend against it.
Right.
And if it's a subtle thing, if it's a subtle thing, you're really in trouble because you don't even have awareness of it to detect what the hell is going on before you are, what, invaded.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time you snap to what's going to occur, you're in all-out panic. All-out panic. Trying to what? Get the enemy out of your area.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying like hell. And what that causes a lot of time, it causes a lot of damage. Because a lot of times they call it collateral damage, right?
Right.
So you need to study this and how your own immune system is what's killing you when you get COVID. It's killing you trying to kill COVID, trying to get rid of COVID.
Yeah.
You're drowning on your – why do you think people are being put on ventilators and things like this? They're drowning in their own slime.
Yeah.
In their own slime. The slime is there as somewhat like flypaper. It's designed to catch bacteria and things like this. And then you what? You hark up and you spit it out. This is the way your body get rid of things. Right?
That's right.
But what if you producing so much mucus, that you can't get it out that way? And you're too weak to get it out that way. Then you drown. You can't breathe. Why do you look into the science and see why they have to flip people in the hospital, and why they have to flip them on their chest side as opposed to the back, so that they can breathe.
You're trying to drown.
You understand? Man, all I'm saying is this, man, don't hate science. Study. Learn how to help yourself and your family. Learn how you work.
Right.
Do you know too much stress can cause you to have a heart attack? Cause you to have a stroke? Can cause you to have all sorts of things. And then look at the patients in the hospital and see what they're predominantly dying of. And you just if you really want to know, but if you don't find yourself interesting enough to want to study about the very thing that's causing all of this death, to learn how and what is the best way to protect yourself against this, being that it's this enemy that is what? Remember when I told you about that silent weapons for quiet war?
For quiet war.
Remember what I told you? Silent weapons. That's something you can't hear. That's something you can't detect.
Right.
You being attacked and invaded, but your defense system is not reacting because you don't know what's happening. By the time you do find out, then that's what you want. That's what the vaccine is to do. The vaccine is designed to familiarize you with the invasion of COVID, that you have early warning, and familiarity with it, that your body can activate and start in time to destroy. That's all you need, and your body will destroy. They haven't gave you no magic pill that destroys this particular virus. So just ask doctors about it. A lot of people don't want to tell you. But what I'm saying is the truth, and whoever's listening who studies it know what I'm saying is the truth.
Right. That's right. The call-in number today is 914-205-5519 if you want to call in to make with a question or a comment today. And the subject today that we are on is called The Importance of Language, Part 2, Communicating with the Supreme Being. Now, we're talking about language, so everything that we have related in this first hour is really to put your mind, to put your thinking in higher levels. Because some of you who are hearing this for the first time, I'm pretty sure you're scratching your head talking about, man, what are they talking about? But If you really listen in to us, you're gonna actually be, I would say you'll be able to be on the level where we are, but because listening is a very important thing for today. Because remember, Jesus always kept it was a reoccurring thing when you read about in the Bible concerning Jesus. Always saying, God said, for those who have an ear, let them hear. It's always constantly stressing about listening and hearing. When you open yourself up to the wisdom of God, no matter where it's coming from, no matter in what language or anywhere in the world, you'll be able to to resonate with it if God lives and dwells inside of you. So we're going to talk about that on the next hour, and we're going to take a break. We're going to take your calls coming up in next hour. The telephone number is 914-205-5519. You hit the number 1, and then you'll be put in the host queue, and we'll see you back on the other side. Ah, yes, Destiny by the Jacksons. That's when Michael Jackson and his brothers and them had went to a different company from Motown. I think it was done on the Epic Records, Destiny. All right, we are back. And the area code again is 914-205-5519. My co-host is Brother Wally Muhammad here that lives here in the city with me as well. Well, now he's kind of like in another part of Branch Oaks here. I mean, it's kind of like with these cities, man, they all suck from, especially the smaller towns and cities, they always nurse themselves from the major cities. So you got Houston, you got, let's see, what's another one we have close by? Conroe. You have all these that nurse themselves from the city of Houston, and then you got Spring, you got all these other little principalities around, and kind of like just like in your areas as well. All right, brother, we are back, and I had made mention of something about Terrence Howard. I didn't really go in all what I wanted to say concerning him, but I'm gonna let a little bit out right now because it's important to what the subject is. But that brother discovered that what's been baffling the scientists for well over 10,000 years, and that's how was the planet Saturn formed, right? And through his research and study on the flower of life, there was definitely, on the flower of life, he came across this. As a matter of fact, this is his words. He says that he opened the flower of life properly. See, and scientists, they understand what that means. But you know, as a side note, the planet Saturn, you know, in the days ahead, and I'm telling y'all something for the future, so you can accept it or reject it, but either way it go, it's going to happen, whether you accept it or not. But in the days ahead, that name, the names of these planets that's tied to the inferior wisdom of this life will be done away with. Today's ruling class wisdom is being overshadowed by the flood of new wisdom pushing in. Finite wisdom cannot be represented in an infinite world of wisdom and understanding. Mark my words that in the not-so-distant future, the names of the planets that are tied to Greek and Roman gods, they will be removed in the progression of time. Now, back to Terrence Howard. He released a book to the public. He is not asking the public to pay for it. It is a book that challenges today's science as it ponders the thought as it relates to the world. It ponders the thought on this. One times one equals one. Now, looking at this cover, you who understand math will find it yourself intrigued by the cover because of the 12 years of education we have been deceived into believing nothing but miscalculations and living our lives through margins of errors. This explains why financially wise people are able to stand aside from the masses of the unknowing people in terms of dealing with money and other number-based businesses or procedures. The understanding of mathematics is essential to life, for it is the language of the universe, and it is the language of the universe and the language of the supreme being as well. Is there such a thing as mathematical theology, mathematical science, mathematical language? The answer is yes. However, we are moving out of the theology into sound science as never before. the beginning has already begun. And what is going on? You have a God that is now steamrolling out all of these institutions of this world and its finite ways of handling the education of the people. You know, as we look at Terrence Howard's argument against the scientific community, it is no doubt to the wise that this brother has backed the finite scientists into a corner. They will not come out publicly to disagree with him and his findings because it is based in pure mathematical truth. What Mr. Howard and his findings have done, if brought out fully to the public's attention, will cause a ripple effect throughout the world of education and science and cause a major shift in the thinking of every nation on this planet. That brother, what he has done is not the thinking of a common man. That is the thinking of a God. A God has the ability to transform the thinking and affect billions of conscious human beings all over the planet. This science that our brother has released to the public will transform all that we have learned and come to know all the days of our lives. This man is not just a reformer, he is a transformer as well as a God of science. Brothers and sisters, you have to start looking at yourself like that. Don't, as Brother Wiley have always pointed out throughout these programs, these different shows, stop limiting yourself. You will never be able to communicate with the Creator if you go to the Creator or the Supreme Being with an inferior mindset. And, you know, bro, I just wanted to make sure I throw that out there because I want our brothers and sisters to really start looking into science more. This is what this program is all about. This is what the narrative is all about. It's about dealing with science, high-level science. You can't stay on the ground level when you're talking about trying to communicate with a God who's already millions of years ahead of you. Do you think the God have time to sit up, you get on your knees, you praying to God, asking him to pay your light bill? You're asking God to clean up your community. There's a picture in the final call newspaper that where there was a brother on his knees praying for what he wants. Oh God, who's going to help us to do this? Who's going to help us to do that? And then in the second caption, there was a big old black finger that was pointing right at him, and he was looking so surprised because the answer was you. You have to know that, as Brother Wiley said in another show, you have to understand that you are the controller inside your fleshly house, your fleshly body. You are proceeding the thought that, oh, I want to go to the corner. I'm going to walk to the corner. You are doing that. Your body's not doing that. You got to understand that you are the controller in your house. Go ahead, brother. You want to add to that?
Sure, I'll discuss it. We're talking about communicating with the Supreme Being. First, you realize,
right,
what are you? You are a human being. And we're saying Supreme Being. So you're saying there is one that is considered supreme among all others. You have to understand this. This one is recognized as the God.
Right.
He's wiser than all the rest. He's wiser. He is said to be the judge. So you, how did this relate to you? You are a human being. God is a being too. And if you can't get that, you're going to have problems with anything and everything else. God is a human being. He eats. He drinks. You know, all of the things that humans do. Why have he got to be something other than human?
Right.
To be God.
Right.
You know, these are questions that we need to ask ourselves. God, he has a brain. We got a brain.
Mm-hmm.
The thing it is, what do you want to communicate with God about? What do you want to ask God? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that Master Farad Muhammad, upon his coming, he had to give us questions and answers. We were so ignorant, considered dead, that we didn't even know what questions to ask God. That wasn't foolish and ridiculous. Because of the concept that we had of God. And if you have a concept of God as being something other than a human being, then you really got to start right there. That's where your problem is, right there. So you have to understand, first of all, that your concept of reality itself basically has been given to you by the devil.
Right, by somebody else.
He has framed your concept. He has framed it. And so what you think is coming from the root of him. Your perceptions of reality that's formed and shaped by what? The knowledge that you have been given by white people. You wouldn't, what, your parents were given the knowledge by white people. And don't blame them. They couldn't tell you nothing no more than what they thought. And if their thinking was framed by the knowledge and understanding of white people, then what could they give? What else could they give you? So you have to understand how you perceive the world is how you behave in the world. I'm going to say that again.
Wow.
How you perceive the world is how you behave in the world.
That's right. That's right. Because most people in their environment, they refer to the environment that they live in as the hood. Or you know,
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Exactly what you just said, because that's what
we
you
live
perceive
in the hood.
It as. Yeah. So how do you perceive the hood? If you see the hood as being a place where people running rampant, you know, everybody's drunk, everybody's high, well, you're not going to think of anything good in an environment like that, because you don't see much progress.
Your concept of reality.
Right.
Is based on your perception of your environment.
Right.
So if you are in an environment that's toxic, then your thinking and your behavior is going to be toxic.
Right.
And you won't understand why it is. because that's dealing with higher sciences that he is aware of, but that we're not as a people. That's why you were not allowed to get an education. That's why you were not taught to read in slavery.
Right.
They wanted to imprint, notice what I'm using, the word. They wanted to imprint into your psyche the way of themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And they couldn't do that. They couldn't do that if you had a safeguard. So they had to break you down where you couldn't resist the influence and persuasion of them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you began to act on it.
Right.
These things, what you remember the old Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it.
Devil made me do it.
You see, so it's just simple little things. You know, I'm gonna say it this way. I'm gonna drop something on you. You may not know. You, in truth, create your own reality.
That's right.
By how you perceive the world, your environment
mm-hmm.
that you live in. You shape your own reality.
That's right.
Yes, you do. You everything is based on it, but you don't know how you are connected with the environment. You don't know these things. You don't know how the environment is feeding you. You don't know these things. And you are consuming what? It.
Oh, yeah.
It is feeding you. When you're in your mom,
right.
When you're inside of her body, how are you getting food?
Right.
You're eating whatever she eats.
That's right.
Or you're not. You're eating
That's
whatever
right.
she eats.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's eating the food from this environment that you're about to come into, and she's been eating it ever since you've been there, you've been
right.
eating it too.
You've been eating it too as well. That's right.
Her blood runs through you.
That's right.
If her blood runs through you, then what carries the nutrients in the body?
Right, right.
Your blood.
Your blood.
So you're feeding off of it in order to live.
Mm-hmm.
And so our people are feeding off the hood in order to live.
Right, right.
They're getting impulses from the environment.
Right.
Chemicals from the environment. Electrical, chemical,
mm-hmm.
signals, messaging, all of that is coming
right.
from the environment.
All
and
that.
What is the environment telling them about themselves?
Mm-hmm.
A N-word
right.
ain't F.
That's right. Ain't that right? That's right.
Everything
that's right.
in the environment is telling them that they are
yeah.
not worth anything.
That's right. Boy, that's an ugly great picture, but
you know,
it is the truth. Yep.
It just is what it is.
Yep.
Your mind,
you
what you
day.
Call your mind,
mm-hmm.
what you call your mind?
Some of them
that's,
say Charlie Vine and N-word.
Let me say
yep.
this again. What you call
yep.
your mind is shaped by your perception
yep.
of your environment.
That's right.
As well as your programming that you have retained in your memory.
Right.
Shapes your mind.
That's right.
Your conclusions are made, and you refer to them as your beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
See, when we we don't take the time to know how we work as a biological creature.
Mm-hmm.
So these things seem foreign to us. But if you look at it, you look at something, and your brother look at something, and your sister look at something, y'all are not getting the same perception out of what you're looking at. All three of y'all are perceiving it different.
That's right.
It may have resemblance, but you all perceiving it different.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're perceiving have to be processed. And it's processed within your system. And when it's processed and analyzed by your system, in particular, your nervous system, and it's all broken down, and you, in your system, have determined it to be whatever, based on what you have of everything that is found in your memory.
Right.
Programming included. You determine this what it is.
Right.
And when you determine this what it is, you act on it.
That's right.
Or you don't act on it.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, what? You generate behavior. You generate behavior.
Right.
And the behavior is exhibited, well, how? Physiologically.
Right.
You move. You move. You got... I mean, to go into this, you wonder how you connect with God. Why are you looking for God? Ask yourself this. You want to call him up on your phone?
Come on.
You're given, you don't understand words. We're talking about communication, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the power and impact of a word. There's power in words. Because what? Excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead.
You have to understand you're given prayer for a reason. Those are words that you're given, said to be by God. Am I right?
Right. Oh, yes, sir.
So, what? You pray those words, which you are, in praying those words, you are said to be what? Talking to God.
Right.
But prior to saying those words as a Muslim, you have to do something else before you do that. It's called what? Ablution.
Ablution, right.
Yes. And so, why ablution? What is the significance of ablution? The most hideous, you are approaching the most sacred of sacred deities in your life. Well, how do you show your respect for it? How do you show your respect for its power? It is through ablution. I know ablution have become a ritual for most, but it just want to hurry up and get it over with, or they just, you know, wash up, clean up and stuff, so they can go to the next phase and be done. And is this the way you approach the most sacred of sacred, the one that you recognize as the God? You show such little respect. The reason you show such little respect is because of savagery. And a savage is one who has lost the knowledge of themselves and who is living the life of a beast.
Right.
Which is a very primal existence. A very primal existence. So,
right.
You know, it's prayer was designated as the way for us to speak with God.
Right.
The impact of what they say was in the beginning. In the beginning
was
what?
The word. The word.
And the word, think of it, is coming from a human being.
Right.
This word has what? Vibration.
That's right.
When we speak of vibration and waves, we're talking about energy here. We're talking about energy. Energy, if you are yourself, you can what with that energy?
Oh, you can move things. With energy.
Yes,
yeah.
You know, we into, again, now talking about something higher than the biological.
Right.
We're talking about atoms. Can you communicate with them? Can you communicate with atoms?
Yeah, come on.
Can you manipulate them?
Yes, sir.
Can you manipulate? Yeah, it sounds way out. It sounds like it's something.
Yeah.
Ooh, oh man, can't nobody do that?
I know.
It's being done every day.
Every day.
They're being manipulated in order to create all of these wonderful creations for you.
Right, right.
All of these, they're being manipulated.
Right. And you're doing the manipulating.
we're talking about on the quantum level.
Right.
And so all of these scientists, you know, that calls for study. What is study? Focusing your mind on what it is that you want to do or proceed. And leave it there until you bring it about. You say, leave it there until I bring it about. You mean I can just focus my mind and it'll come about? No, because focusing your mind is going to cause also body movement.
Right.
It's going to cause body movement.
Right.
Body movement is going to search out and seek all that it needs to bring about what it is viewing within the brain.
Right.
That's called creation and creativity. That's what you're doing.
Right.
You say, I want to make a shoe.
Yeah.
Well, you had a concept of the shoe, right? But how are you going to make it real? Your concept is where? Where is it at? Where all the concepts originate?
In the mind, in the brain.
That's the same place it originated with God when he created everything.
That's right. That's
in the heavens. Where is the heavens? How many people understand that no light is exposed to the brain, that the brain is in absolute darkness?
Right. That's right.
You know, how many people, what is the relevance of that? When you seeing
right.
with your eyes, are you really seeing with your eyes? What is the
That's
eyes
right.
in relation to the brain? If you don't study this,
Come
you
on.
Don't know.
You wouldn't know.
So when
That's
you
right.
form anything that you want to do, I don't care what it is, when you form anything that you want to do, where is it formed?
Mm-hmm.
In the mind.
In the mind, in the darkness of the mind. Then
in
it comes to life.
In the mind. I don't care what it is,
yeah.
you can't name it. You know, if I
yep.
tell you right now, if I tell you right now,
mm-hmm.
picture, I said, picture a lion. Picture a lion. Where did picture come up at? It comes up in your, it comes up in your mind, in your brain. Why? Why did it come up there? I
mm-hmm.
simply spoke a word to you. When I spoke a word to you, you had familiarity with what? With the meaning of the word.
Right.
And because
right.
you had familiarity with the meaning of the word, it thus and therefore was in your memory. So you
right.
connected with it, it shaped and formed the picture in your mind.
That's right.
Yeah, I know what a lion is. So now you have this perception of what? A lion in your brain.
Of a lion.
Right?
Right.
Of a lion.
Right.
Well, how do you think anybody make anything? It has
mm-hmm.
to come first into the mind. Now, it's a deeper conversation than what I'm saying about communication.
No, yes.
You said, well, how did God do it? It wasn't nothing around. It wasn't, no, wasn't this, wasn't that, wasn't nothing around. How did he
right.
begin to do it? How did he create himself?
Right.
That's a, what, he said, in the beginning was the word? Huh?
Yes, right.
Who spoke the word?
That's it.
How did he know how to speak?
Right.
Who was he speaking
right.
to? Now, you got to ask that. If you speak, what? Who you speaking
mm-hmm.
to?
Yeah, yeah.
What did you say? Or what did you realize?
Mm-hmm. But yes,
you realize something.
Right.
That's a deeper conversation. We don't need to go there, but all of this, what I'm saying is what? Communication.
Mm-hmm.
So you can communicate with God.
That's right.
That is the inner core, listen, core of your being that you refer to as yourself. If you go
right.
there, you just went to God.
That's right.
The inner core of yourself that you call yourself, that calls you to be. You just went to God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Why did Master Farah Muhammad, why did he tell us, Brother D? Huh? Why did he tell
Come
us
on.
We were the original people?
Oh, to reawaken you back to your
Thank you,
to
brother.
Your original nature.
Thank you, brother.
To who and what you
we
are.
We quit looking for... We quit. We wanted to be Chinese. We wanted to be
yep.
white. We wanted to be Japanese. We wanted to be everybody other than black. And
right.
he said
right.
the original people that came
right.
with the earth, the original man is the black man.
Right.
Gave you a little reason to feel pretty good about yourself. We are the
That's
first
right.
man. None is before. Gave you another little reason to feel good about yourself. Because what? You are only thinking what? White, or whatever. But now
mm-hmm.
he got you thinking what and looking where? at your black self.
Oh, at yourself. Yep.
Now you're building something
from within.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You're building something in your memory bank.
That's right.
You're being what? Oh, well, we ain't gonna go with that. Go ahead.
Remold, reshape. Been done all that.
That's right.
Thank you, brother. I'm gonna take a call because I wanted to get to the callers earlier, but my power had popped off and popped back on, so I had to wait till the switchboard come back up. I'm gonna take a quick call right quick. Let's see. Area code 832-606. We have a question or a comment today.
Oh, okay, that's me.
Oh, brother Mitchell. Hey, Salaam Alaikum, brother.
Salaam Alaikum.
Alaikum Salaam, baby. Hey.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
what's
sir.
On your mind, bro?
Well, yeah. You were talking about communicating with the Supreme Being and how do we first, our first concept, something like that, about God.
Yes, sir.
Coming up, yeah. Well, you know, I was raised by my mother, and she raised me in Christianity, of course, church, you know. And she taught me to believe in God and this and that. But, you know, I went through it all. I basically went through the motion. I went through it all. But it didn't add up. It never added up to me. You know. Make all the things together to me, you know. The church, all of it. All of the ritual, all of it. Going through all of it. It didn't all together make sense to me. But I went on and carried on and dealt with it. You know, because that was the way I was raised, and that's what my mom wanted. You know,
I understand.
But it never did. It never did click. You know, I had these questions in my head, in my mind, that no one could answer. The Reverend or anybody could answer. So I just went through the motions and just went on through it. But I always kept these questions in my mind until I ran into some brothers, you know, that was talking something different. And I heard something else. Heard the record that the minister did, White Man's Heaven is a Black Man's Hell.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And I heard that record, and then I heard Savior's Day, 1983, they were playing it on KTSU.
Yeah.
Right.
And once I heard some of the excerpts from that lecture I heard the record, I said, man, that it is. You know, I found what I was looking for. You know.
So, yeah.
I learned some things, and I learned about who the white man was. I learned about who the black man is, and I learned about God. So I seeked it out. I went out in society looking and searching for more of that, what I had heard, you know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it, you know, so I started buying the books. The Ada had a bookstore, so I started buying my own book.
Yeah,
she had a couple of bookstores, so I started going to her bookstore. That was Amistad bookstore. I started going there.
Right, Amistad. Yeah, well, you bring back memories, man.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I started buying these books. I bought the Messenger's books, and I started studying. You know. And,
That's beautiful.
It was like a light bulb in my head, brother. It woke me up, and I found out, you know. But I had to pay a price. Once I started getting into the teachings of Elijah Muhammad, then I had to get it from my mom.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's the first one you run into. Yeah.
From there, you know, everything changed, you know, but I didn't let it deter me. I kept on going, you know. And I found out the truth of God. I found out the reality of God. I found out the reality of myself.
That's
So, second part, you know, communication, you know, we give in prayer, and this is how we communicate with the Supreme Being.
Right.
You know, we get up off our knees, and we stand upright with our feet pointed, 45-degree angle, with our hands extended, and we recite our prayers, and we communicate with the Supreme Being.
That's right.
And then after that, you have to go into action. You have to do something.
That's it again.
To
make it relevant. To make what you're praying for and what you're seeking relevant.
That's right, brother.
You can't just recite the prayer and don't do nothing. Don't work that way.
That's right. It would not
something.
Work for you.
Right. You got to do
that's
something.
Right.
You know. In addition to recite the prayer, you got to do something. And then it
that's
happens.
Right.
That's exactly right.
You know.
All right, Brother Mitchell,
so
thank you for them comments, brother.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for those comments, man. I really do appreciate you, and thank you. And always, brother, you want our regular callers, so continue on calling in, all right? Let me take this
yes,
next
sir,
call.
Peace.
All right, let's see. It's coming. Okay, area code 713-870. Do you have a question or a comment today?
I
or are you just listening?
Sorry,
oh, hey, how are you, sister? Yes, ma'am. Just continue on listening. Good. Thank you, sister. All right. Yeah, brother, you know, it's very important that we do we define what communication is. You know, because communication means the imparting or exchange of ideas and information. It also means the sending and receiving of information. You know, I was reading in this book, in a book by Dr. Ava Muhammad. You know, and I want to read something from her book. It's an e-book. It's called Directing Your Will, Thoughts, and Words to Get Your Life in Order. And in this article, the article is named Why Your Power Is in What You Speak. It reads, how do you know when you are following God's will and not your own? It is thought control. When you have the ability to control your thinking, then you will know you are following God's will and not your own. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us to think five times before we speak. In other words, turn the statement over in your mind before you release it into the atmosphere. Why is this important? Because you have power. Your words have power. Everything that Allah created, he did it with words. He said, let it be light, and there was light. The Holy Quran says, when he desires a thing, he just says to it, be and it is. He does not go out punching people, shooting people. He just speaks it. And it is. Now that's serious power, and that's what's wrong with you. You are a God, and you need a life where you can say something and it happens. Not where you speak. Let's see, not where you speak it, and then you have to go and sweat bullets to bring it about. But the God in you is dissatisfied because when you say, I want it, it should happen. And it can be like that if we will develop thought control. Because controlling thoughts means controlling words. And once we get control over words, That's when you are going to start exerting power in your environment. The last paragraph, she said, is everything, or well, she said other paragraphs, but there's only two I pulled. It said, everything Mr. Farrakhan has done, he has done it with words. He got more than 1 million brothers to come to Washington with words, not conniving them, not feeding them drugs, not forcing them physically, not threatening them, but with the word. Our problem is we have gotten to the point in the black community we try to make things happen by physical force, and that has never been our way, because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. So your power is in what you speak. This means what? You have got to work on your vocabulary. You got to expand it.
Man, that summed up everything we've been talking about, didn't it?
And Brother Mitchell even pointed it out as well. And so, you know, man, that's it, man. Words is power. And one of the things that you have always said on the program too, brother, is this here, is that where is the power of God at? Where is it at? Like you say, it's in the word. It's in his word.
And so,
you want to say something to this?
Yeah, I wanted to say one thing.
Yes, sir.
On the last, on the first session of
right.
this topic,
yes,
I
sir.
Spoke something. I said something that I would like to just say again.
Go ahead.
About language. Language is an attempt to transmit vocally. Transmit
mm-hmm.
is a key here. With symbols or through signaling,
mm-hmm.
a perception, idea, message, concept, or thought to another life form.
Right.
The other life form must have the receptors to receive and process the input.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have the receptors to process it, then they can't receive it. One thing
right.
about what we're talking about is this. A Muslim, what is that? One
mm-hmm.
who submits themselves entirely to the will of God. Think about it. Entirely
right.
to the will of God. You submit yourself to entirely the will of God. Well,
mm-hmm.
you must know what is the will of God.
That's right.
You see? So you've
mm-hmm.
got to understand something here with the true believer. This works with the true believer, because
right.
there is alignment. There is a alignment between God and the true believer and those of a like kind.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? That's
right,
why
right.
the message is received. A disbeliever cannot get the message, because there is no alignment. A hypocrite
yeah.
can't get the message.
Yeah.
There is no alignment.
No alignment. That's right.
You think about what I'm saying regarding alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Alignment is what establishes real kin.
Right.
Real kin or kind. You got to have the alignment. So this is why the Quran, I've said this before, is not for everybody. It is only for the believer. And if you open the book, you'll see it tells you it is for the believer.
Mm-hmm.
So God didn't come here, and I'm going to say this. He didn't come here to save Negroes. He didn't come here to save, I know you don't like that, brother. So he didn't come here to save the N-word. He came here to give them an opportunity to align themselves with him and therefore come back to themselves who they originally were. Some did, some didn't. The ones who did, they don't guess about who he is or the messenger who he is. They know it is only one. It is only one. It could be 1 million. It can be one individual. But it's only one. You see what I'm saying? This is very important in communicating that idea, concept, message, signal, whatever it is.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, boy. Look like we done. We in a two-minute warning. Brother, I'm going to pull something else on communication from a book I was reading this week. It's called Guaranteed Solutions, Living Without Words. By Nathan Yonder. It says that communication is not enough. We need to know how to commune. It says when words emanate from the heart of one person, it touches the heart of the other person, and this is called commune. He said, now I tell you, I talk from the bottom of my heart, so you will listen wholeheartedly. When the speaker speaks with totality, the listener is bound to listen with totality. His life is bound to be transformed. If your life has not been touched by my words, be very clear, I have no authority to speak. You are free to doubt the truth of my experience. If you feel that my words have not been able to transform your life, there is no need to feel guilty. Come out with me. But I will tell you, there's no way you will not be touched by me. If you listen with your heart, you will see my teachings working out in your life automatically when the time comes. Only a teacher who is unsure of himself need to urge his disciples to go back and practice his word. When a true master speaks, simply listening will do. Listen totally, the transformation will happen automatically. Now, this is a master teacher talking to a disciple. And that goes to show you what just... Yeah, go ahead.
I don't agree with that teacher.
Okay, I got you. Go ahead. Go ahead and share with us.
I know the master teacher. And the master teacher talks to all. And what? Everybody is not affected by that where they follow and transform to his word. The only one that transform is the one who is like him.
Right.
They are called family or kin or kind. That's why in the last day, everyone would go to their own kind.
Kind.
Kind or kin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Physically,
right.
The messenger, physically, he don't have to be present. He is always with his kind.
Mm-hmm.
Master Farid Muhammad physically don't have to be present. He is
right.
always present with his kind, with his family,
right.
with his kin. He is never absent. And they are in tune with him all the time.
All the time, yeah. Yeah,
I will never leave, the scriptures say, I will never leave or forsake you.
Right. Definitely, I definitely see, I see that point where you're saying, I'm gonna read this little other part to it, and then we're gonna close out for this week. Thank you all for tuning into the narrative, but I'm gonna continue this. It says, the master repeats to the disciple 9 times, you are that. Just by listening to the master from his being. The disciple actually attains the spiritual experience when both the master and the disciple acts with totality. This is possible. And that was the end of what that was saying. And yeah, brother, you're absolutely right, man. Everybody do gravitate to their own.
Yeah.
It's true.
Because there's no compulsion in Islam.
Right. Right. And then when I read this, it kind of looked like it was talking about like a person that was zero in on what he was teaching. It, by him being a teacher and the person that's accepting wholeheartedly what he was saying, but it seems like to me what he's saying that in the end that a transformation will happen automatically because after a time that within the disciple, because the master now is he can just say in just little short sentences, but it's speaking to a lot of volumes inside of the person's heart. Well, that's what I got out of it. All right, brother.
I hear you.
We gotta contact each other, talk to each other next week. So thank you for listening to the narrative. Peace.
Peace.